Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Nathan, this has got to be one of the most, if not the most, polarizing truck ever built. And of course, I'm talking about the Tesla Cybertruck.
I would agree that it's polarizing, but I know for a fact that you happen to like it.
Yeah, so in this podcast, if you're listening to it, we're going to be talking about what it's like to live with a Cybertruck for a month. And most interestingly, I like it a lot. And Nathan?
I don't. I don't.
Just like the rest of the country. Half the country.
Half the country likes it and half the country hates it. And there's very few people in the middle who are like, oh, you know, maybe it'll grow on me. But we'll talk about the pros and cons of this vehicle. I know a lot of you guys are like, no more Cybertruck. I'm done with Cybertruck. But then some of you guys aren't. Some of you guys want to hear more. Now that we've had this for a while and we've towed with it, we've off-road with it several times.
Twice,
now,
yeah.
And we've been using it as a daily driver and everything else. We now have a better perspective on what this vehicle is all about.
Yeah, and unlike many other people who are buying these, we've actually used it as a truck.
Yes.
We've done trucky things with it, like tow with it.
You went to the dump with it.
I went to the dump with it. I filled up the back with furniture and took it to Moab. Tommy off-roaded it. We weren't just driving it around for, you know, and grins to show off. So let's start with a basic walk around. What do you say?
Let's do a basic walk around. Now, for those of you who are listening, we are standing in a very pretty place when you think about it.
Yeah.
We're just opposite the Rockies on one side and then a beautiful farm area behind us. And this is one of the places we like to film, which is at the head of a trailhead.
Yes. And what I'm going to start with, Nathan, is the fact that I've never had a vehicle that has had this much, shall we say,
curb
attention. Yeah. I mean, listen, maybe not in LA, but like, you know, we just watched the Monaco Grand Prix. You could take this to a casino in Monaco, and there could be a Huracan next to a Ferrari, next to a Pagani, and none of that will matter if you pull up in a Cybertruck. They just all fade into the background. Three people have come and rang my doorbell and asked me what the hell was parked in my driveway. Strangers freaked the heck out of my wife. She's like, why are these people coming to our door? And I'm like, because of this.
Yeah. Admittedly, I mean, people are very curious about this thing. They want to know why the panels don't all align. They want to know why the glass isn't done properly or why certain parts look like they're falling off or rusting. But at the same time, I will admit and I will acknowledge.
Do you see any rust, except for the wheels? There is rust on the wheels. Do you see any rust on the stainless steel?
Not so far.
So there's been a lot of like YouTube videos. And the reason for those videos is YouTubers or wannabe YouTubers understand that if you say, I bought a Cybertruck and it didn't rust, or I bought a Cybertruck and it didn't look like the panels fit.
Or it didn't catch fire trying to cross the river.
Right. No one's going to watch that.
Right.
There was the most recent one was somebody like bought, it was on Jalopnik. Somebody bought a Cybertruck and they sliced open their arm and then they had to go to the hospital.
Bring the camera here. Come on over here.
He's going to show how sharp it is.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You want to put your finger in there while I close the front?
Okay, no. So for those of you who are listening,
we're
looking at the front end of the vehicle. You really don't even have to do that.
There's a panel
just sitting right here. I got a piece of paper that I was using for notes. And if you look, it doesn't really have a hard time cutting paper. As a matter of fact, that's another utility of this vehicle, is that it can be used as a paper shredder.
You know what else is sharp, Nathan? A circular saw. There's a lot of...
How many circular saws do you drive?
You know what I mean? There's a lot of very sharp and very dangerous things.
Yeah, there's dangerous things, sure. If I look underneath my lawnmower, that blade could be sharp. But the point is that this is a vehicle that you you know, go next to and you load up and you do things with. So yeah, there are parts on this vehicle that are somewhat dangerous.
Look, I'm looking at the edge here.
Yeah,
right. It is sharp. I give
and
you
it's
that.
Not very well finished too. You got to admit. Look at that.
But all right, let's address that right now.
Yeah.
While we're there, and by the way, this is a frunk. If you're looking at it, it fits about a golf club bag of golf clubs.
Yeah, I'd say you can safely put in a nice sized bag of clubbies.
It's not huge.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers, I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your vehicle. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your vehicle, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your vehicle hassle-free and fast, go to tfltruck.com and click Sell Your Truck in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
It's not like
16 basketballs. Maybe
yeah,
15.
It's not like a Rivian or like a Lightning, right? Or like a Silverado EV,
which has tons of usable space.
So the frunk isn't huge. But let's talk about that now. Consumer Reports, and this is also reported, did a survey where they found out that Teslas were one of the most unreliable vehicles in terms of like having to have the most maintenance. So a lot of recalls, a lot of issues with the vehicle, but there's a big caveat to that. First and foremost, a lot of those recalls that Tesla does are over the air.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, you don't have, like most recalls.
OTA updates.
Yeah, yeah. And the other one that didn't break out or that news organizations don't break out is that 90% of those recalls where they had actually had to go to the Tesla shops, not a dealership, right, were things like misaligned panel gaps and stuff that's not working.
Or doors that don't open.
Right, but nothing to do with the powertrain.
Admittedly, yes.
Yeah, so like Teslas do have a lot of build quality issues, but they will not leave you stranded. So it's not like, remember when like Chevy with a 6.2 had that cylinder deactivation and that took a huge, you know, dump and stopped working and left people stranded? Or I'm not going to say who it was, but a friend of ours has gone through now, I think, what, three different engine rebuilds in his Ford.
In his Ford F-150. Yes, indeed. I'm not denying that. Oh, this one's even sharper over here. Here's the point about that. The powertrain is based on the powertrain system that's already been set up in other vehicles. There are millions of Teslas on the road, and admittedly, their powertrain systems tend to be pretty good. I mean, you'll hear about the exceptions, but the exceptions are not as numerous as they are from certain other automakers. And so you guys have to take it with a grain of salt. I'm only saying that because I'm a fair guy, and I like to judge it on two ways. But
and the other thing, Nathan, that I think we're going to do here is we're not talking about politics. We're not talking about, you know, sentiment. We're talking about fair and real life experiences.
Exactly.
So I think we're trying to be as fair and balanced as possible.
It just happens to be that he and I have contrary opinions.
Exactly. Disagreements. We're not here like, you know, thinking with our political head as opposed to our regular brain, because a lot of people are doing that, right? A lot of the comments we get are electric vehicles suck, yada, yada, yada. And I'm betting that 95% of those people have never even driven an electric vehicle, let alone a Cybertruck, right? Where there's maybe 5 of these in the world right now. 5,000, sorry.
I was going to say 5?
Okay.
We're not that good.
So let's go back to it. So one of the other usual things this huge front windshield. Look, I am 6'2".
Uh-huh. And usually arm length is
the same
is
as your height.
Roughly.
Yeah, so I'm putting my hands at the...
So the entire unit is about 6 feet.
Yeah, it's about 6 feet. And then the wiper is about 4 feet.
Yeah, I'd say 4.5 feet.
I would love to go to like an O'Reilly's and see one of these hanging at the wiper store.
I don't think they have a large enough rack. But here's the problem. If you come on over here...
By the way,
I had a debate with another person who has another... He's a friend of ours, but he does his competitor. And he swears up and down that you don't lose a lot of view, visual.
And you can tell because we just washed it, so it gives you a good representation.
So if you're looking at the windshield, one windshield wiper, as it comes down, because of the direction that it has to come down, the angle, there's a huge swath of uncleaned section here that I have to look through as a passenger. So this section here, look at this. my hand is a fairly good sized hand, and it is completely obscured by the fact that this is all stuff that hasn't been washed, because the windshield wiper, the way it's designed, does not allow for that, and they could have gone with a different design.
All right, I'm calling Tempest in a Teapot on that one.
Tempest
in a Teapot. Yeah, basically, you know, a molehill made into a mountain. Because I drove with Tommy to Moab, and it was raining, and I sat in the passenger seat. I didn't care. It didn't bother me at all. But I will give you a problem that this does have, and this is a weird-ass problem, right? When you activate the windshield wiper, and Tesla has some of the worst self-activating windshield wiper software in the business, right? Wipers either are too slow or too fast. This thing does something really exasperating. So there's a little button on the steering wheel that you push to do one wipe.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it'll do one wipe, but only down. And then it'll stay down. So now it's no longer aerodynamic, but it's stuck.
Staying down.
It's stuck in the horizontal, not vertical position.
So you gotta click it again in order to get out of the way.
No, then it resets so that the natural position is at the bottom. So it goes down, stops, you click it again, goes up, goes back down, stops. And then what you have to do is you have to open up the software and actually turn off the wipers, click the button so it comes back up, and then turn
it. And then turn it back on.
Yes. Yes, it's very exasperating. I don't know why it does it.
So both those things kind of suck. So Roman, help me on that one. But let me show you something else that is terrible.
Oh, the rearview mirrors are horrible.
The side view mirrors. Yeah. Now, if you're listening, I am standing next to a side view mirror on a truck, which is essentially a full-size truck. It's a big truck.
It's a triangle, and the mirror is a triangle.
But there's a point here. These aren't very functional.
No.
With these open,
horrible.
With these, can you do the? I don't want to.
Yeah, just
force.
Open the door.
Oh, okay.
Just push the door.
Oh, so to open the doors, you have these presser pads. And so you hit the pad, and then it pushes open, which is cool.
But there's no door handle. So okay. Then, of course, the thing everybody knows is you got to grab it by the stainless steel, which, as you can see, leaves.
Yes, lots of little marks here. Anyway, so let's switch positions here. Now, for those of you who, once again, are listening, there is a tiny little triangular mirror. It's so cute, it's triangular shape, because everything's triangle. Okay, so this shape here is utterly useless when you're driving down the road, because the larger component of the mirror is actually on the inside, showing the side of your truck. But the outside part, the further out you go in the mirror, tinier it gets, meaning that anybody who is coming at you with side traffic cannot be seen very well. Now, I know Roman's about to say, yeah, but they have a system inside the truck which tells you that people are coming up to you on the sides, and it's actually a graphic, and he's correct. However, I don't want to rely on that. I want mirrors that are functional.
Well, it's definitely, I mean, you have to come to grips where this is definitely form over function, right?
Oh, in so many ways.
In so many ways. So I'll give you an example of that. Come over here, Cole. So if you look, this has blindside monitoring, but where most manufacturers put the little, warning light in
the
mirror,
LED.
These guys actually hide it in the speaker. There's a little red dot that illuminates in the speaker when you've got somebody in your blindside. So it's weird, because even though it's in the general direction of where you're looking, it's still not where it should be.
Yeah, I would agree, and I'm sure that has to do.
But let me show you something badass. Come over here. Cool. Sure. Look at this. Look at the little kick plate.
Well, you got to describe it.
It's a Cybertruck, and it's just absolutely like in punk, letters, and it looks really cool. You feel like
this is
special.
The most non-punk vehicle on the road ever.
Oh, come on!
It is the punk rock is about poor people, about people who cannot afford a $100,000 plus truck.
So let's talk about that. We ordered this truck about an hour after order banks went live, and it was $39,000.
That's what it was.
And then 4.5 years later, it was $80,000.
Uh-huh.
And then when we bought it, it was $100,000. So there are two Cybertrucks, right? There's this Cybertruck, and then, of course, there's the Cyberbeast.
Yeah.
So ours is a dual motor, whereas the Cyberbeast is a tri-motor, which means we've got dual lockers, which is actually better off-road.
Agreed, it's a lighter truck, too.
Yeah, it weighs 6,800 pounds, does 0 to 60 according to Tesla in 4.1 seconds. We actually drag raced it with a Porsche 911, not towing it, but actually drag racing against it, and a Mustang GT, and that video is on all TFL, so check it out. Surprising results, Nathan. Surprising results.
Surprising results. We recommend you check
anyway,
it out. You might not expect it.
If you come over here, Cole, you'll see that this is the Foundation Series.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context, plus tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
They have it etched in like a laser etch thing that says foundation.
And we paid $20,000 extra. So this truck was $100,000, Nathan. And we did that so we'd get it early so that we could review it and, you know, talk to people about it and basically be one of the first to have it. And we weren't one of the first. We were like 3 months into when they started coming out.
Yeah, there are a lot of other people that had it before us. And we were actually debating at one point whether or not it would be a good idea to still get this truck. Especially because some of you guys are so angry about it and polarized and whatnot that you made it sound like you really didn't want to see it. But then an awful lot of you really did want to see it. And it's based on the fact that we've done several videos and you've watched them.
And so let's keep talking about the specs on this truck. Dual motor, 130-ish kilowatt hour battery, 600-ish horsepower, 320 miles of official EPA range, which probably translates to more like 250 when it's cold. You know how that goes. Anyway, there's a truck coming here, so let's kind of go in the back of this thing. And the reason we paid $20,000 was to get it first, but it also got you a whole bunch of other things. It got you locking diffs, which we didn't get.
Correct.
It got you full self-driving autopilot, which we didn't get.
Correct.
And it also got you a home charger, which I'm having installed next week, which is a bi-directional home charger.
So explain that.
So what that means is you can actually use this as a power source for your house when the electricity goes out. In other words, this is also coming. It's not there yet. You can charge the truck, and then if the power goes out, the truck can be a 130 kilowatt hour battery that in fact powers your house for as long as the battery is good or as much charge as is in it. So let's show some more kind of bad things.
All right, look at this.
Yeah, come on over here, Cole. So like this trim piece.
This is now we're at the sliding tonneau cover.
It's coming off.
Which then, I believe comes standard with
and
these.
And then if you go around the back, Cole, look how it lines up. You can see how well that tonneau cover lines up. You see the line, Nathan?
Oh,
it's completely crooked. A better way to see that is at the back here. So on the passenger side of the vehicle. Hi, we're doing a video. So me and Nathan are having a discussion. He hates it. I like it.
Yeah, we're doing a broadcast right now. So
that's Paul.
Okay, how you Paul. Doing? What's your family?
Dax and Inga.
Hey, Dax. Hey, Inga. How are you?
Hi, right, guys.
So I'm going to ask you a simple question, all three of you, okay? Very simple. Do you like it?
You can be honest. It's okay. Honest, we will not have.
I like it. I would love to see how it drives, but it looks really cool. The videos I've seen online seems like it's a piece of shit, but it'd be kind of cool to drive it.
What do you think?
I mean, I think it looks cool, but I honestly think that with all the wiring issues with like everything they've been having with it, I don't know if it really makes sense.
Okay, and what do you think?
It looks cool. Yeah. I like it.
Tesla does have build quality issues, right? So you can see that the panel don't necessarily align.
Oh, it gets really bad.
If you look over here, you can see see how wavy it is?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's a function. That's a feature.
Get a Tesla, make sure that it's working.
But what Tesla doesn't have, which a lot of other vehicles have, are drivetrain issues. So while the build quality may not be as good as your Ford, is an F-250 or 250, the actual drivetrain, in other words, you know, the lack of the transmission, which doesn't cause you any issues, will never cause you problems, right? So this probably will never leave you stranded. It may be a little weird. Sometimes doors don't open, sometimes they do, which is, you know, bad in itself.
It doesn't even turn off when it just keeps on going.
But it won't.
Yeah. You guys want to look inside?
It won't leave you stranded, and it won't ever drip on your floor, right? Because there's no oil to drip. It won't ever blow a head gasket. It won't ever need a new fuel pump. It won't ever need a new starter. And so there's a lot. There's a lot about electric cars that just is much better than internal combustion engines. And the other thing that people don't understand, and now I'm holding up my phone, right? So I've got an iPhone. This is 2 years old now. And this battery here lasts about half a day. So I'm always charging it, right? And people think that this battery is the same as that battery,
right.
And it's not. So that battery in the truck is basically climate controlled. And Teslas have been around now for 15 years. And usually after 10 years, you lose about 5 to maybe 10% of the battery. Mm-hmm. So that means if I've got 320 miles of range today, 10 years from now, I'll maybe only have, or this truck will only have, we won't have it by then, we'll only have like maybe 290. But it's not like the phone. And so there isn't that same form of degradation that they have. And like I said, it'll never pee on your ground. It'll never throw, it'll never throw a piston. And so there's a lot that's actually much better, I think, about electric vehicles.
He is, and I don't agree with him.
And it's also quick.
Yeah,
and then, hey, why don't I demonstrate some of the cool features?
I'm trying to demonstrate this one feature, but it broke.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
But is that high quality you were talking about? I mean, no, the guy's getting $58 billion out of the company. I'm just kind of surprised that it's just not working.
Nathan, I said the quality was bad. I didn't say the quality was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
So because it's crooked, right, sometimes it works. That works. Gosh, we're getting quite the group of people here.
Yeah, we are.
Now this is not working. See, this just stopped.
Yeah.
We can let you guys go.
No,
we appreciate it. Yeah.
We love your channel.
Well, thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you for watching, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, so this has completely stopped working.
Yeah. And you want to pull on it if you go down?
Yeah, pull on it. Push on it. Yeah, there it goes. You got it going. Yeah, so I just need a little push, Nathan.
So you need a 265-pound guy here to push on it in order to... So that's all you have to carry in the back.
But look, we'll get this fixed. We haven't gotten it fixed because we've been using it for so many videos. But I agree. I said that there are build quality issues. Why don't you show them what's underneath there?
Yeah, there's some design quality issues, too. We'll get to that in a second. So you do have a frunk here. It's small enough. It might be large enough to put a small journalist in if you fold them up. After some tequila,
It doesn't have a spare tire, which is not good for an off-roader.
No spare tire. But you can get one and put it in here, and then suddenly screw up your payload. You can also get an additional battery.
Let's talk about the
put it back.
Let's talk about the payload.
Yeah,
the payload is phenomenal.
The payload is absolutely outstanding. It's like right there with that Ford heavy duty.
It's 2,500 pounds, which is what a heavy duty truck might have.
Mm-hmm.
Most. Let's talk about that. Most. Mid-sized trucks, Tacomas, right? They're in the 900-pound range.
Well, they're 900 to 1,500 pounds.
And then most mid-sized trucks are like 1,500-ish.
1,700.
And then heavy duties are like over
2,000. Yep.
Yeah, and this is what this has, which is phenomenal. What isn't phenomenal is that this is a 6-foot bed, but it kind of goes in. Hmm. So if you have a...
So do me a favor. Stand just to take one nice big step to your left, Roman.
To my left.
So he's going now towards
Now I can't reach.
Yeah. And Roman is a lot taller than I am, and he's got long ape-like arms. Yet he cannot touch the bed, meaning that if there's anything in here that's actually used by a truck, I don't know, hay bale, logs, donkey, you can't reach in here and touch because of the way this is designed.
I'm going to go back to it. Like, those people came up here just to see this, right?
Yeah, that's a showpiece. That's why Chevy built the,
It's like driving a hypercar that nobody else...
That's if you want attention. But if you want an electric pickup truck, is this the best
Look, we've owned a Lightning, which would directly compete against us, the Ford F-150 Lightning. We've done a lot with the Silverado.
We've also the Silverado, which...
And I'm gonna be completely transparent here. Maybe it's my ego talking, but I love the fact that people... just react to this thing. It's so much fun as an owner of this, as a driver of this, when people are so
It's kind of funny because Roman is normally not the pop star, he's the rock star. It's a long story.
Yeah.
But I'm the opposite. If I own a truck, I really don't want people coming around and just snooping around it because they want to see it. So I don't want that type of...
I think we all
want
to be pop stars or rock stars.
No, not with this thing.
We all do want to be that. Now I think you're being disingenuous.
No, I'm being completely... Look, if it were my money...
There's a bottle opener right there.
Well, then take my $100,000 as a bottle opener.
But more importantly, look over here, Nathan.
Yes, which other trucks do too. Electric. Although I will admit that is a very... They did a good job setting that up.
So you've got onboard power for not just 120, but for,
240
as well. So you can power, most...
washing machine.
Yeah, and the other day when we went drag racing this, we didn't have our cameras charged, so we just used this to charge our solo DL.
Uh-huh.
There's outlets in the... cab, which we use to charge the cameras, and there's more outlets in the front. So if you want to use this actually as a work tool, there are a lot of places to charge up, and
agreed.
It's got a lot of power.
Agreed and agreed. I absolutely cannot stand this bed. Now, by the way...
Oh, and it's also, look, it also comes in this kind of, I don't know if it's plastic, but.
No, this is
you don't have to bedline
carbon
it.
Carbon mix.
Yeah, it's like what Chevy does, I think, right?
So you don't. Toyota does it too.
Yeah, you don't have to bedline it. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
That just seems so old school now.
Yeah, I would agree.
And then let's talk about something else that's good on this truck.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to close this. It kind of doesn't close self, but it does self. It's like the doors that kind of like you just get it up there.
Yeah, there's a little motor in there.
Yeah. But down here, towing.
Yes, yeah, it can tow.
So it can tow, not far. Me and Andre exactly. Proved it can tow about, let's call it 100 miles, towing an 8,000-pound trailer. But 8,000-pound trailer is well below its capability. 11,000 pounds this will tow.
Sure, 11 miles.
No, 100 miles. Okay. 100 miles.
100 miles.
Yeah, 100
now,
miles.
Now, you know, I'm not even going to go after it with towing because I'm hot and cold when it comes to electric pickup trucks. Let me hear me out.
All right, finish it.
Okay. So electric pickup trucks are not there yet.
Except for the Silverado EV, which...
The Silverado EV is pretty damn remarkable. 200. But it's also got a battery the size of Toledo, Ohio.
It does.
It's massive. So we're not quite there yet. However, one thing about a pickup truck is that it's super utilitarian. And this is fairly utilitarian. I can't stand this bed or the way it's shaped, by the way. Those aren't fleet sides. I'm pointing to the bed right now. And they actually come in at an angle, so as you go closer to the cab, it pinches off, which a lot of people don't talk about. There's actually less capacity in here than you think because of the way this is designed, because this had to be a vanity project. Now, another thing is that this rolling tonneau cover, which is already not working very well.
But, which, by the way, is also brilliant. So when you're, you know, when you're using it and you've got stuff in here, like the other day, Tommy was moving, and so I had all of his boxes in here,
mm-hmm.
and I kept it outside. Because it was raining. Normally, if this was a regular truck, right, I would have to bring it in. With this tonneau cover, it's
You can get a tonneau cover in most trucks.
You can, but they're not as convenient.
It just obscured the rear glass.
It does obscure the rear glass.
Exactly. So convenience is suddenly replaced with...
Oh, look, and it thought there was something there, so it backed
so,
up.
So, yeah, because it's not lined up.
Yeah, now it's stuck. Now it got stuck again.
This isn't my fault. That's the best part. Here, you want to push? Yeah. There.
Okay, stop. I'm going to go bring it back now. There it goes. All right, there. That's good enough. There's a big space there.
There is. It's about an inch on one side.
Dude, I mean, this is something that'll be fixed under warranty, right? We'll call Tesla.
Better be.
Yeah, of course. Right.
Okay.
But it's not leaving you stranded, and it sort of kind of works. I know
If Tommy's stuff was in here now, it would be leaked on.
Well.
Yes.
A little bit.
Uh-huh.
In addition to the fact that you can't
use the rear glass.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, but you can't.
There's a camera.
Oh, cameras never get obscured.
There's a camera. The problem is the camera is in the screen and not in the rearview mirror where it should be,
mm-hmm.
right? And, of course, when you put this tailgate down, the camera shows you the ground. But all trucks do that, right? This is not a thing.
Some trucks actually, like the GMC AT4X, has extra cameras where you can actually have parts down and you can still see out of the back of the truck. But I'll tell you what, there are a couple things that I like right off the bat.
Right.
Powertrain is remarkably impressive. Why don't you get in there and show them the other thing I love, which is turning the steering wheel.
All right, let me do that. Why don't you
come
on the
side?
Which
is, by the way, wire guided.
And I'll show you, as an off-roader, I'll show you two things that are great about
it. Oh, two things. Yes, here we go.
All right, first, and we've had this in the Hummer EV, right? So you got to show it from the outside, Cole. All right, so I'm going to turn the wheels.
Do you know how many degrees they turn?
I think 10 degrees.
10 is Mercedes, but it could be.
Yeah, it's 10 or more. So you can see the rear wheel steer, which off-road makes it great. But what's even better off-road is, let me show you this. Why don't you back up a little bit, Cole, okay?
He wants to show you the whole thing as it rises, as if from the dead. Lazarus.
Okay.
That's it.
It should be going up now.
By the way, no other truck in the universe.
Nathan.
Yeah?
You see it going up?
Yeah, I'm straddling it as it goes up. It's freaky.
You know how many inches it goes?
Tell me how many inches.
How much ground clearance? Take a guess.
12.
16.
16 inches. That's massive.
That's pretty freaking impressive, dude.
Yeah. You know, no other vehicle on the planet does this. Oh, wait. Yeah, some do.
No, they don't. Nathan, no other vehicle goes 16 inches.
Although, I got to admit, it's fast. This might be one of the fastest vehicles for lowering itself and lifting itself. So for those of you who are listening, I'm standing at the back of the truck getting a free frontal massage as Roman has the truck go up and down.
So, you know, before you kind of just poo-poo it, there is no...
I just said this is a positive.
Yeah, there's no other vehicle that goes 16 inches.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Unless you lift it, right? But even Land Rovers that have air suspension, they may go 13, 14 inches in their extract mode. Same thing with the Hummer EV. I think that goes 15. Nothing goes 16 inches. I mean, this thing just gets on its tippy toes. And, Nathan, so we took it to Moab twice.
Mm-hmm.
We took it to Moab when we first got it, and it just sucked off-road because we didn't have the software enabled.
Uh-huh.
So it does have, and this is important, it does have rear and front real mechanical lockers. Now, there are electronic lockers, right, which basically work as if they're real lockers, supposedly. In other words, if one wheel is spinning, it'll lock up the locker so that both wheels have traction.
Except
in our experience with the Rivian, the four motor, or with even the Hummer.
Well, the Hummer had like a front electric and then a rear mechanical,
or the other way around.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. But with a rear locker and a front locker that's mechanical, when you lock it up, basically you're going to get power to all four wheels all the time.
And Tommy, I won't deny that. As long as it's over-the-air updated properly, everything works great, isn't it?
And Tommy took it off-road and thought it was magnificent. He took it into Hell's Revenge, which is, you know, not easy.
Yeah.
And the thing just killed it. The thing you do have to do, which is coming off here, you have to take off this bit right there. It's a little arrow wedge.
It's an arrow bit that rubs.
Yeah, and then you have to take off the same. There's a little arrow spoiler that you also have to take off. It's not hard, but you do have to do it.
Roman, let me take this off road. I'll take those off for you right away.
Yeah, well, that's what Tommy did over here.
As my boy.
Tommy got a little bit of rash on the truck, which is okay. We were doing a video with it.
So now I think we've gone to a point to where we should take this for a spin. I think it'd be interesting.
And by the way, 35s?
Yeah, the tires are massive, yeah. And I cannot wait to replace those, how much those will cost.
And the other thing about these tires, which, you know, isn't great, is they look very off-road worthy, but I think they're also very efficient, so the tread itself is sort of an AT, right? But we're not looking at like KO3s here. We're looking at tires that are compromised between off-road.
Agreed 100%.
Yeah. And then we didn't get our aero hubcaps.
Well, because they kept flying off of here.
Well, they kept damaging the tires too.
Ah.
And so we didn't get those, unfortunately, so we're still waiting to get those. And we're still waiting to get full self-driving, which it also doesn't have. And I agree, Nathan. There are three things that really bothered me about this. First, there was no communication from Tesla whatsoever.
Yeah.
From when we bought it to when we picked it up. Basically, we got a text, I think. Andre got a text saying, come pick up your truck. Out of the blue, just come pick it up. Bring a check. You know, and I was like, wow, no, like, hey, it's being built. You know, we also have a 911. They actually sent us pictures of the 911 as it was built in Germany. And then on the app, you could see where the boat was as it was coming to San Diego.
Yeah.
This, hey, it's ready. Come pick it up. So that was, you know, because not everybody's ready with $100,000 that quickly. So that was the first problem. And the second problem, which still is, you know, as you pay for something, and only until recently, Tesla has the balls to not give it to you and say it's coming. You know, full self-driving. We've road tripped this twice now. It would be nice to have at least autopilot.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of that, how about we do a little something here where we stand outside, you straighten the vehicle out, so you do one of those magnificent turns with the four-wheel steering, and then we'll take it for a ride.
Yeah, you can
see. But I want to be able to see it from the outside.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
And Roman will turn it.
Yeah, I'll shut up. You talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't talk over each other. I'll back up, and let's see how tight of a turn circle it
is. Yeah, exactly.
All right. And then, as a way of introduction, this is the first vehicle ever to have steer-by-wire. You want to explain what that is?
So steer-by-wire, think of it as, you know, video games and everything else, when you're on a video game and you're driving, essentially what you're doing is you're putting input into a sensor that says, okay, he's going left, he's going right. There's no mechanical gear leading to the front wheels or the rear wheels in this case as well.
Or a rod.
A rod of any sort. There's no mechanical connection whatsoever. What you're doing is you're turning a resistor, a small little electric motor, so to speak, but the opposite of that. And it's telling the vehicle what your steering angle is. And it seems to work okay. However, there's no steering feel because of it.
So some people may be saying, well, Infiniti had it.
They had a similar one, but they also had, there was a backup.
There was a rod. This has no backup. So this is the first steer by wire. Most cars and trucks are throttled by wire right now, right? So there's no like cable that goes from the accelerator, actually gas pedal to a carburetor.
Or a fuel injection system if you want to not date yourself.
Right.
But the point is that this system here is completely isolated. So everything you're doing, accelerating and steering in this vehicle, and braking, I think, to a lesser extent, is mostly handled through electronics.
And then the other thing that people may not know about, and then also people complain about, is because it's steer-by-wire, it's variable ratio steer-by-wire. So when you're going slow, you never actually turn the steering wheel more than this. Because
it's a yoke.
Yeah, when you're going slow and you do a steering input, it turns the wheels a lot. And when you're going fast, you do a steering input, it turns the wheels a little bit.
Yeah.
So it changes how much the wheels turn depending on the speed of the vehicle.
And it also changes how much input goes to the rear wheels for turning as well.
Right.
I believe that if you're merging on the highway, the rear wheels will turn slightly in the direction that you're turning into the merge. Whereas
so they go in phase as opposed to out of phase. So in phase is the wheels turn the same direction, out of phase they turn in different directions. Which
correct
is what they'll do right now. So
does this thing crab walk?
No.
And it grab walkies.
And it doesn't do a tank turn either, Nathan. Sorry.
Yeah, so let's see. Now, I want you to accelerate as hard as you can when you turn. Because there's the cliff there is far. Okay, here it goes. This thing is the length, basically, of a Ford F-150.
All right, so I'm going to try to make a turn before this other truck comes in the space here, okay?
Okay.
Which is like basically a two-lane road, and then there's a big stump over there. So if I get it wrong, I'm going to hit the stump.
That's why I want you to floor it.
I'm not going to floor it, Nathan. Nobody floors it.
I've never listened to it, I swear to God. But, yeah, this thing, will he make it? He made it. Yeah, you got it. Trust me. So this thing does turn on a dime for such a large vehicle. This is where four-wheel steering is awesome. Now, by the way, a lot of companies have been doing four-wheel steering for years and years. Hell, there was a Honda Prelude 30-something years ago that had four-wheel steering, and Nissans that have had four-wheel steering. This is nothing new. Anyway, let's get in here and take a ride. It's starting to get hot.
Well, hop in, Nathan.
Okay, so the other thing that's true is, guys, I have to pull out a $1 bill here you go, $1 bill. That's the only way it's going to let me in. They say that on the internet. You have to pay the car to get in, or the truck.
Why do you have to pay the car to get in?
I don't know. This is what the internet says, so it must be true. Okay, so the $1 bill is here, and apparently I'm allowed to stay. See? Look, it didn't kick me out.
All right. You do also have really sharp cameras, so they're not potatoes.
They're pretty good.
And you can go front, or you can go back, right? So you can see what's behind you, you can see what's in front of you, you can see what's on both sides of you. And actually, there is a squirter for the front camera. Which is right there.
Okay. So now explain. And it did squirt.
Yeah.
Now explain the transmission, because I didn't know this.
So the transmission.
It's predictive.
Yeah. And there's really no transmission in this car. So you get in the car. There's no start button. And the way you start it is you put your foot on the brake, and then it takes a guess as to which way you want to go.
Right.
And if there's something like in front of you, if you're in a garage, it'll know that you want to back up. So it'll put the little truck back right, and that's reverse. Or if you push it in the middle. That's park. If you push it forward, that's drive. So this time it knew I wanted to go forward, so it just put it in.
So it's already ready to go, essentially. Yeah. Once you let your foot off the brake, you're ready to go in the direction. But it's not necessarily perfect, so.
No, it gets it right about 80% of the time.
80% of the time.
And then this is what really bothers me as well. So let me show you. I push this button on the steering wheel, and that's my rearview mirror. You would expect it to be there.
Right.
But it's not. It's
so General Motors and other companies now have one. It's an LCD screen.
Yes.
That's in the mirror. It's fully embedded, and it works really good, actually. But rather, this mirror is useless because we have the tonneau cover up. You cannot use it.
It's pretty much useless all the time.
Okay. But this is what you would see through something like in a similar way.
Yeah.
As such, that should be projected on here, without a doubt.
And then the other thing I hate is the steering wheel. I mean, there's just no comfortable place to put your hands on this. It's better than the yoke that the Model S has, but why are they putting like a Formula One style wheel into a truck?
Because I mean, it's the future.
No, it's, I'm sorry, it's crap. Cole, you're going to have to edit that out.
That's right. There's another other guy that you interviewed.
And he said it twice, too. Yeah. So sorry, we apologize to all your family folks. We'll try to edit that out. Yeah. But it is crap. It's just, I don't like it. I've gotten used to the turn signals, which are right here.
That's terrible.
So if you want to go left, you do that. If you want to go right, you do that. And they are self-canceling. Not in the way you expect. So if you're on a highway and you change lanes, the truck knows it and it cancels them. So not just going around a corner, but also if you're changing
lanes. Once you've made into your lane. Right. So why not have a turn signal stock? I'm curious.
I agree. I mean, I'm always doing this.
Why make it more difficult and add tech to it?
But unlike the Model S, which gets even worse because in a Model S, it doesn't have variable steering and it has a yoke and it has these buttons. And I think the new Model 3 has them as well. You can be in a position where the steering wheel is completely spun around. Uh-huh. So left becomes right and right becomes left.
Ah.
In this truck, that never happens.
Because it's not allowing you to go all the way over.
Because you don't need to go all the way because it's variable.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then a huge front windscreen.
One of the largest I think ever put onto a production
vehicle. If the fly dies in the front of that thing, I don't know.
Which one has apparently. Look at that.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to get to it. I haven't figured that out yet.
You're going to have to get a small person to go in there. And
but a lot of solar energy comes in here. It just gets really hot in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did put it came with this. It's a little blind that you put on the roof, glass roof, so that you don't get as much solar.
So you don't bake?
Yeah. So that helps, but I need to do something with this. I think our friends at the Man Cave, see how much I turned? I mean, just basically a little bit. Yeah.
And then, yeah, agreed. The turning, look, the performance and the handling of this thing are otherworldly. And that's where I'm going to stop my griping, because it really, I mean, the power is incredible. The handling is great. The ride is fantastic. This isn't. Look at this. So this is a sunshade, right?
Yep.
And for those of you listening, the sunshade doesn't really do a great job. I know it drops down.
And
a mirror that has a light in it.
Oh, look, I haven't taken it off yet.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be the first to do that?
No, I don't.
Oh, come on. That's so satisfying.
I know it is, but it's not my truck. So I'll let Tommy do that. Okay. Tommy will
love Tommy
it.
Do that.
Yeah. So, but the thing is that the sunshade still has
about
6 inches of glass above it.
But here it's magnetic, and so you can...
But what does it matter if it's not working as a sunshade?
That works perfectly.
No, it doesn't work perfectly.
Like this, on the side, it works
on the side. Oh, that's wonderful. So when I'm driving towards the sun and I can't completely block the sun out with a sunshade, it's no longer a sunshade. It's just an obstacle.
I think this is something that if you got to drive it more, you would find is not a problem. You'll notice I did put tape over the passenger and driver facing little camera.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because you know there was this report where apparently people were doing naughty things in their Teslas, and people at Tesla were actually watching the naughty things.
I'm sure I can name one.
So I didn't want to be viewed. And then another thing that, of course, is unique to Tesla, and I think is one of the best features of this truck is everything in here actually is relatively straightforward. We just got an iX. My wife just bought a used BMW iX with the new iDrive 8. Oh, it is so confusing, Submenus within submenus.
Germans are terrible about that.
Yeah, here you basically have everything.
I will admit, it doesn't take that long to figure out the basics, and then you get all the other stuff. And I do like the projection of seeing items and figuring out what they are and having that. It's interesting because, like, we'll pass a car. It could be a Volkswagen Beetle, but this thing, we'll just see it as a sedan. But it's still really funny that it does that. And then it can actually figure out what's a truck. And so it has a graphic representation for the driver to see. And that pops up on the screen.
And then over here, which we noticed, you also have a built-in brake controller. And it's really clever. So you can enable it here, and then you use these scroll wheels to actually increase the amount of braking that your trailer provides.
Yeah, I'm actually impressed with that as well. I think it's a good thing. However, once again, this is something that you will not be towing with regularly.
I would tow with it in town regularly.
In town?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Roman, where do we tow to, say, about 3 times a month, 2 hours a month on average?
Where do we tow? Oh, the iGauntlet?
Moab.
Yeah. I would tow with this tomorrow. It'd be fine.
What?
It would be fine.
You wouldn't. You would do it once, and then you would complain about it endlessly. Right. And that's because you would have to stop 4 times for juice.
All right, let's... It's 300 miles, so you'd have to stop 4 times. So let's talk about this. You've got different drive modes. So you've got acceleration. Of course, you've got ride and handling. And for the most part, it actually has a very good ride.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's a very good ride.
And now we're off-road, and I was going to show you acceleration, except there's
now off-road. We're on a dirt road, guys, so it's partially gravel, partly dirt, and it's graded as well.
But let me wait for the cyclist to get back, and I'll give you just a little squirt of acceleration.
Oh,
and
I say you do it now.
But... And I figured out something after owning five Teslas now. We, as a company, we've owned the Model 3, the Model 3 Performance, the Model X, the Model Y, and now the Cybertruck.
Yeah,
we haven't owned an S, actually. So only thing I would say is if you're in an electric car, just put your head back.
Yeah, that's
otherwise,
right.
Otherwise...
Or you get a bit of whiplash.
Yeah.
Yeah, this thing, you know what it reminds me of?
What?
I'll tell you exactly what it reminds me of. All those RC cars that I've had and Tommy's had, the way they launch, and they're ridiculously fast electric little RC cars.
Yes.
It's exactly like that, but just much, much, much larger.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, it's you know.
It's remarkably fast.
It's remarkably
but,
fast.
But.
Some people would say too fast.
It might be. And another thing is that if I were on a race track and for some reason driving trucks, I wouldn't choose this. This is not something that would want to go around racetracks repeatedly.
But you have to admit it's a comfortable ride,
right? I admit. I totally admit it.
We're on some washboard right now.
It's fantastic on the washboard.
Yeah.
It's got a... I think that the one thing they really thought about is that most people who are going to buy this are affluent and they want a very nice ride. I seriously, I'm not even trying to be funny.
No, I think if you're going to spend... Okay. I mean, $80,000 for the dual motor, $100,000 before the Foundation Series for the Cyber Beast, you're right. It's a lot of money, plus taxes, you know, mm-hmm. and whatever else that has to come with it. It's not cheap, and this is not a cheap vehicle. I think it will go down in price. Let's talk about, like, residual value. So a lot of people have been making fun of us in the comments saying this seems to be worth nothing, because we lost $16,000 on our Tesla Model 3 Performance.
We got hammered
on
that car.
Yeah, we kept it a year. We put on 16,000 miles.
And now, then the Tesla, the company themselves, dropped the price through the floor.
And then Hertz dumped a bunch of them on the market. And so our,
all at the same time.
And right now, these things are selling for in the secondary market. I don't know how people are selling them because you're...
Well, they can still sell them. It's just they won't be allowed to buy another Tesla. Not
well,
for
well,
like
a contract we signed says we can't sell it. And Tesla's punishing people by saying that this is also kind of goofy. They're punishing people by saying you won't allow you to buy another Tesla, which to me seems counterproductive, but you know, you do Tesla.
But that's how they do it. And Ford pulled that stuff once with the GT, and among other things, and other automakers have tried that because, and their point is they don't want to flood the market with people who are flipping these vehicles
but that's
for profit.
But that's capitalism.
I'm not, and I don't care either way, honestly. I'm not in the market, so it's fine. But I get it. I understand both sides of the argument.
So when they first came out, right? They were selling for like double. They were going in the open market like $240,000.
Yeah, I saw $250,000.
And then they dropped to like $160,000. And now I want to say now, last time I checked, you know, they were reselling for maybe $20,000 over mm-hmm. what the sticker is. And I'm sure within a month or two they'll be selling at sticker or below. The question will be, you know, we're going to keep this for a year because not only did we sign the contract, but we want to see what it's like to live with and how it actually holds up, right? That's what we do. So we'll see how much money we lose on it. Keep in mind, guys, you know, our business model is different. So we make money by doing these videos.
Right. So if we lose a little bit of money on the vehicle, we can kind of go to parity with, you know, how many videos, how many, you know, commercials, all that other stuff happens.
It depends, right? Like we definitely lost money on the Model 3 Performance because we did... this range test, a cannonball, where we went from Disney to Disney nonstop. We did it twice, and people just didn't resonate with it. So those videos were a lot of work because we drove for 46 hours straight, Nathan.
Right. And we had three people doing it, too, because it was the two people and the camera person. So if you look at that and the amount of people that are in there and everything else, that means that we're not making videos for that 72 to, 16... plus hours per day. Who knows how long we're actually doing it? I can't remember the numbers. Essentially, we're filming all day, all night, and we're not here at the studios filming these things.
Yeah, so we, in that case, you know, it's a little behind the scenes. We lost money on it, but then hopefully some of the other videos we do will, you know, make money.
They tend to compensate, which is why we're able to do what we do.
Now, let's talk about some other things about the Cybertruck that are unique. Obviously, Tesla doesn't have Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. And if you love that, they do have pretty good software that like replicates it, so like the texting feature works pretty well, not as good but pretty well. It does do like Apple podcasts, so if I go to my podcasts, it'll bring up all my podcasts. There's all our friends, you know, there's Tim.
Yeah.
You weren't too excited.
No, it wasn't that.
It does do like Apple Music as well.
Yeah, it does Apple Music. That's what I wanted to put. I don't do podcasts, that's the thing.
I think that's right there. And then it does of course, have, I think, you know, a lot of pretty fun features that, and people are really into this, that let you like play games when you're stopped at a charging station. And then, of course, this is one of the cool things. You see how it's got an internal.
I want to point out something though right now that's happening.
Okay, let me finish this.
But this is it's too late now. Okay, I wanted to point out the bicyclist and how it's bringing it up on the graphic display.
And the car.
Yeah, and the car. See all that? Now, for those of you who are listening, what we're seeing here is a graphic display on right below where the speedometer is, showing the bicyclist, showing the vehicle, showing a person standing there. It's actually really remarkable software that does that. I am impressed by that. I'm sorry, you can continue.
No, fair enough. Tesla is a software company, and they do it the best out of all the car manufacturers.
I just cannot even argue with that part.
And then over here, for instance, we've got recording, right? So there's a hard drive in here, and it's always recording the camera. So if you're in an accident, you have visual representation of whoever hit you or who you
also,
ever hit.
Also, if Elon wants to listen to our conversation, he can anytime he wants, so he can... He might speak up, actually, as we're broadcasting.
I'm not sure that's true, but it could be. Who knows?
According to the internet, because the internet's always right. That's why I brought the dollar with.
And then it does have things like Sentry Mode, right, where it monitors the vehicle. If somebody tries to break into it, it'll film them. It also has, I think, Dog Mode. It has Joe Mode. Now with this truck, it has, I forgot what they call it, Camp Mode, where it... Like Rivian, if you're on a non-flat surface, it'll flatten out the truck using the air suspension. So
that way you can sleep inside of it or in the bed.
Yeah, so there's just a lot of thoughtful coding that's taken place. You know, and I was talking about the outlets. So there are all your outlets. You can see them. You can see them right there, and you can see how much power it's getting. So if you're into tech, I don't think anything more techy than this. Having said that, like if you look over there, can you see in the corner? I don't know if you can show it. In the corner by that little window, you can see that the little piece of cloth there is completely like
The
wavy.
Curled up one? Yeah.
So once again, here we are.
Yeah, you can really see the difference between the two of them.
But, like they get the software, they don't get the hardware.
But this has happened on other Teslas that we've had before where there have been imperfections, and eventually they work some of the bugs out. This one has a lot of bugs, let's face it. I mean, body bugs, and there's definitely a lot of... issues in terms of fit and finish. I remember we had our Model 3.
Yeah, it's not a
three
Lexus.
Three times the door got stuck.
Yeah, and it wouldn't open.
Yeah.
But you know what? If we were typical YouTubers, we would have made a video, top five things I hate about my Model 3.
Didn't
I
we can't do that?
No, we didn't do that. We just had it fixed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because the thing that YouTubers figure out, and hopefully journalists don't do, is that you get a lot more views with hate than you do with love, right? So... showing things that don't work is going to get you more clicks than things that do work. So in general, the forums, YouTube, TikTok is filled with like stuff that is wrong, and it gives this oversized, I think, impression of what's wrong with it. By the way, going around this corner, that rear wheel steering really pays dividends.
Yeah, and the cornering, it didn't lean as much as you might expect for a thing that weighs over 6,000 pounds. And I'll say that I think there's five things I hate about it and it suck. Please click on my video.
Yes. And then if you compare it to the competition, and we should talk about that. So we had the Hummer EV, 9,400 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
This is 6,800.
They're very different vehicles, Roman. That Hummer is... a much more off-road based vehicle. It is much larger tires.
But 3,000 pound
difference. I know, but the battery is much larger in that
too.
Yes,
it is. It's 220.
And it charges a lot faster.
Nope, this charges just as quick. It's got a
really? I thought the Hummer was the king of charging.
This has 800 kilowatt. The problem is that unless you're at a version 4 supercharger, you don't get 800 watt charging.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
So this has the same 800 watt architecture as the Hummer. You just can't use it. Having said that, the Hummer, I did see a 368 kilowatt charge when I was charging at a Target, which is pretty darn impressive. I'm going to pull in here and we'll finish this up.
Yeah.
Then there's the Lightning, which you also own. We drove that to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is, if you want a traditional truck that's not form over function, I think that's the one to get.
Not only that, but...
It's a really good truck.
It's still some value in it. The big issue is it has crap range.
Yeah, you gotta. You gotta get the extended range.
Yeah, even that is not great.
No,
it's okay. And Ford built that in a hurry, specifically to try to beat them.
Yes,
I would say.
And then the Silverado V is by far.
Oh, it's a monster.
It's the range king, right? That goes over 400 miles. It does like 200 miles of towing. Andre just went and reviewed the RST. It's got the midgate, which is kind of unusual. which this doesn't have. So let's see, if I put it in reverse, if I put it in park, will it know I want to go in reverse? Nope, it doesn't, so I got to put it in reverse. And another thing that I don't like is Mr. Musk doesn't believe in a heads-up display, which would be wonderful.
This would be a perfect car for that.
Wouldn't that be with that 4-foot dashboard in front of me? And it would also be nice if it had those little sonar sensors, right? Is it sonar? Yeah, the little like proximity sensors.
Yeah, it's strange that it's not telling you about that.
I don't have those. I just have the camera, but that you don't have a two-dimensional
sense
of how far you are.
Yeah, so you're about to take that gate out.
I'm going to take out that fence. Yeah, that's also frustrating. But maybe that will come in a. Well, now just put it in park by itself. And then
so it figured out it was there, but it still wasn't giving you any audio warning.
Yeah. For $100,000, you think you would get that.
Uh-huh. See, he had complained about it, too.
I hope what we did here was give you guys kind of an objective look at
what
the Cybertruck
is. Two sides of the argument.
I don't think we changed any minds. I think if you hate it, you're going to hate it. And if you love it, you're going to love it. And, you know, there's no simple answer here.
Yes, there is. Okay. Buy a Rivian instead. It would be cheaper.
But it doesn't compete because this is much bigger, right? This is
not that much bigger.
Oh, come on. It's a lot bigger. It's 17 feet long.
So what? So the Rivian is more useful. Rivian has a more useful bed. It has actually pretty good payload.
No, dude, no.
Yes.
No.
It tows pretty good for what it is.
Please, hold on. Just be quiet for a second. Okay. All right. I'm just going to give you two numbers, all right? Nathan, you can listen to this, right? Rivian, 4-foot bed. Cybertruck, 6-foot bed. Now, six is bigger than four, last time I checked, by twice as much.
Ah, but this is also twice as useless.
Half as much.
This is twice as useless as a bed.
No, it's
also... It is a useless bed.
No, it's also wider.
It's wider only in one spot.
The Rivian's like a tweeter truck between...
It's not that small.
It's small.
It's not that small. Anyway, guys, thank you very much for joining us. I apologize for the fact that Roman has not been taking his Geritol today, so he's forgotten an awful lot about what real trucks are versus things like this. But I will say... I agree with you that this is a polarizing vehicle that a lot of people are fascinated by, and it may actually point the direction of future electric pickups.
And I apologize that Nathan doesn't know that six is bigger than four.
Six is not necessarily better than four.
It's bigger than four, Nathan.
No, there's a better bed, and it's on the Rivian. This is a useless bed.
I apologize.
Useless.
I apologize for that, and if you have a 6-foot couch,
Roman, you're not. I'm not going to back
over.
Down.
2 feet in the
Rivian. But at least you can reach the couch and get it in there. This one you can't reach and get into because this bed is useless.
It's not.
Okay,
it's
actually, so thank you guys.
It's actually very useless. And unlike the Rivian, you actually get a working sort of
tonneau
cover.
Well, octogenarians constantly go on about
the Rivian
same
tonneau cover
got
removed because they couldn't make it work.
Pops, you need to go into a home.
Oh, for God's sake, Nathan.
My God.
Hey, can you get that dead fly out of there?
I don't know how to reach. Let's get Andre.
Yeah, we'll get Andre to do it.
Andre can reach.
Maybe we can take off the windshield wiper and kind of... get it with that.
That's probably the only thing it will reach.
All right,
okay,
guys.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, remember, go to AllTFL if you want to see the thing drag race of Mustang GT and a Porsche 911 without towing, which is the way that most people drag race.
Yeah, I would agree.
See you guys next time.
See ya.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.